I'm going to read two short sections from Mark 13. First of all, verses 1 to 8, and then across to verse 32 to the end of the chapter. So Mark 13, verse 1. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains." And then verse 32. "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the cock crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." We thank God for this reading, and pray, as always, that the written word may become for us the living word of God. As we've traced our way through Mark's gospel, I've done so under a very general title of Jesus, Power, Compassion, and the Cross, which encompasses much of what the gospel is. And today, be watchful. See, hear, and stand. See, hear, and stand. Three key words, and yet beginning with be watchful. On a number of occasions in this chapter, Jesus says to his disciples, be watchful, be alert, be on guard. And I was reflecting on this and thinking those times when I have particularly been alert, I know it's as if my eyes are a little wider open. My ears are a little more attentive. And I'm using my intuition just to sense what is going on, who's doing this or that, what is happening. I need to just be careful, to be alert. And that is the sense that Jesus is giving to his disciples. Be alert. Let your eyes be open, wide open. And attentive. Let your ears listen carefully. Focus. Listen to what God is saying, but also watch and listen to what is happening around you. And allow the Spirit to be within you, in your intuition, as you sense what other people are doing and saying and the circumstances of your culture and your society. Be alert to that. So be watchful. Be watchful. And that really is the sense of this whole chapter. Jesus beginning and ending saying, be alert, be watchful. Now, why does he say that? He says that because it's so easy to drift. It is so easy within our Christian lives. When we come to faith, I guess for many of us, certainly for me, when I came to faith, it was fresh and exciting, even though I'd been in church pretty much all my life. When I came to faith, there was a freshness about it. And I wanted to pray and I wanted to read my Bible with a new energy and enthusiasm. And I wanted to be dedicated to God. And I know all of those occasions wherever I've had that fresh experience of God, there has been that renewed enthusiasm to be dedicated to God. And yet I know that so often, having begun from that passion and that enthusiasm, maybe I'm the only one, or I've drifted. And I've kind of gone, it's okay. Doesn't really matter. I don't need to be this dedicated or this passionate. It's all right. And that's not just in terms of prayer or reading my Bible or attendance at church or things like that, but in terms of my values, the things that really matter about love and kindness and mercy and forgiveness and generosity. These things can so easily slip away. The things, the values that we see reflected in the life of Jesus and that we seek to emulate by the power of the Spirit. So easily we can let these things drift. And so Jesus says to us, be alert. Be alert, not just out there, but be alert concerning your own heart. And don't drift. So be watchful. And these three words, see, hear, and stand. See, hear, and stand. And first of all, Jesus draws the attention of the disciples to the temple. And in fact, it's one of the disciples who says to Jesus in verse 1, look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. And then Jesus says, do you see these buildings? These great buildings, not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And Jesus is drawing the attention of his disciples to an event that hasn't yet happened. But he's looking ahead, an event we know as the Jewish War or the Great Jewish Revolt that took place in Judea between the year 66 and 70. That's where the Jewish people in Jerusalem and Judea rebelled against the Romans. And the Romans typically expectedly, responded in force, great force. And they reconquered parts of the land that the Jewish people were beginning to claim for themselves. And eventually we get to a situation in, I think it was in 69, where the Jewish army is inside Jerusalem. The Roman army is surrounding Jerusalem and it's a siege. And it's Vespasian, the Roman commander, who eventually becomes the Roman emperor, and his son Titus leading a force of 50,000 men. An enormous army, determined to put an end to this war, determined to put down this revolt. And the result is, in the year 70, the Romans enter Jerusalem and they kill everybody in the city, including they crucify most of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and then they burn and ransack the entire city. And so if you go to Jerusalem today and you see where the Temple Mount is, where the temple, you will be told this is where the temple used to stand. That's what the Romans did. They leveled the temple. And that's what Jesus is drawing his disciples' attention to soon. It won't be long before there won't be one stone standing upon another. Everything will be destroyed. Stay alert, He's saying, be watchful, this is about to happen. That's the destruction of the temple. But then there is also Jesus calling his disciples' attention to the desolation of the temple. And if you have your Bible open, turn to verse 14. When you see, Jesus says, when you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and so on. And here we have an example that we've actually seen before in Mark's gospel, where Mark's sense of time and Mark's timeline is a little confused. Because Mark is actually writing about something that has happened nearly 200 years previously. The abomination of desolation was something that happened when the Seleucid ruler, and they have great names, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. Fancy that? Your name? What's your name? Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. That's my name. He entered Jerusalem and he was a Seleucid ruler. He was a Greek. And the Greeks believed that no peoples, no nations should have an kind of worship one God exclusively. But all peoples should be able to worship any or all gods simultaneously. And so what Antiochus did, when he entered the temple in Jerusalem, he built an altar. And it was upon that altar that he offered sacrifices to the Greek gods. And he passed laws saying to the Jewish people, you are no longer allowed to simply worship your God. You must worship and allow the worship in this temple of people coming to worship any or every God. And that was called the abomination of desolation. And you can go to the book of Daniel, and Daniel speaks about that as well. And we have records, historical records elsewhere, of that taking place. And so there is this curious timeline. Jesus is speaking of something that's already happened. And so we're not really sure what is going on here. But there is that call to attentiveness and being alert and being watchful. When these kind of things happen, don't just let them slide. But see, be alert, be watchful, and don't be drawn in. Don't be drawn in to what others are drawn into. See, keep your eyes wide open. But not only this, we're encouraged also, Jesus says, to see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. In verse 26, at that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. And here, having spoken about the destruction of the temple that's yet to come, having told the story that everybody would know of the abomination of desolation that had already happened, encouraging the disciples to be alert to what is happening and what will happen, he says there will come a time when people, and I think the particular focus here is not just on people generally, but it's on those who carry out these deeds of destruction, these deeds of desolation, those who have power in the world. They are the ones who will see one called the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And again, Jesus is referencing Daniel, the prophet Daniel, where Daniel writes about one like a Son of Man who is given all authority by God. all authority and all power is handed over to this one like the Son of Man. And Jesus is saying, even amongst the desolation and the destruction, one is coming who has been given all authority and all power, and he will rule from this day forward, and his rule will never end. And for us, whatever we make of Mark 13, whatever we make of all those accounts or predictions or prophecies or words in the Bible about things that are to come and the troubles that may arise and how we interpret them, there is that word of encouragement, the coming of one to whom has been given all power and authority. And we are told to not just be alert to all the other things that are going on, but be alert and be watchful for the coming of the one known as the Son of Man. And so that's the word see, in terms of being alert, seeing, keeping your eyes wide open. But this second word, hear, hear. When you hear, verse 7, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, what does it say? Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of birth pains. And Jesus says, be alert with your eyes to see. Be alert with your ears when you hear of wars and rumors of wars and your heart sinks and you're despairing. Don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. These are the beginnings of birth pains. This is a new birth that creation is going through. There is a new world being born through the pain. Now, I can't speak personally of birth pain. Some of you can. And I mean, it was okay for me when my kids were born. I got through it okay. But I think for Sarah, it wasn't so great. But you might remember, if you're, whether you were present at the birth or not, you remember the pain. But when the child is born, what great joy. What great joy. When the child is in your arms, probably screaming, but the child is in your arms and a new birth has taken place. And Jesus is saying, as you pay attention, as you are alert, as you are on your guard, you're seeing, you're watching, you're being careful. We don't want to drift in terms of our values and reflecting the life of Christ. He says also, hear, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all sorts of things going on. And of course, yes, we work and we pray and we hunger for justice. And that's the natural response that we have. That there might be a new creation, that there might be this new birth. And Jesus says there will be a new birth and there'll be great joy when we see what is to come. But not only hearing conflicts, but hearing false messiahs. In verse 6, many will come in my name claiming, I am he. And deceive you. And he repeats this, that there will be those who come and claim to be the Messiah. And you will hear it, but he says, be alert. Be alert for these false messiahs. These false messiahs who will promise you the world, but deliver very little to you. And there are those who believe. Well, there are those who have believed over the years even during my own lifetime, that the Messiah has arisen. This person or that person has arisen as the new Messiah that we need to follow or pay attention to. And for me, bizarrely, and I cannot get my head around it, bizarrely, there are those who believe a certain president is pretty much the new Messiah, leading his people to a promised land. Now, I can't get my head around it, but there is a big con going on that is built on lie upon lie upon lie. And we recognize that good people have been deceived. And we wonder, how have they been deceived? Isn't it obvious? Isn't it obvious? And it's a warning to us. It's happened to good people. It may yet happen to us. And Jesus says, be alert. Be watchful. Be on your guard. Don't be deceived. The focus always needs to be upon the Lord Jesus. Needs to be upon the Lord Jesus and his values of love and mercy and kindness and generosity and peace. So you will hear in your alertness of false messiahs, but don't be deceived. And then this third word, stand. Stand. Be inspired. And this is in verse 9. Again, if you have your Bible at hand, look at verse 9. You must be on your guard. You must be alert. You must be watchful. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. As we are watchful and alert and on our guard, and all these strange things are happening around us, and even now, these strange and peculiar things are happening, we must have courage to stand. To be inspired. Literally, to have the breath of God breathed into us. To be inspirited. To have the courage to stand. And to stand for the values that we've learned from Jesus. Why that might be an issue is because there will come a time when we have to stand and say, Jesus says, I should love my enemy, therefore I will not go to war. Jesus said we should welcome the stranger because it may be Christ himself. When we are told that we should reject the immigrant and the refugee. Jesus says I should sell all my possessions and give the money to the poor, when our culture says you need to gather everything to yourself and keep yourself safe above all else. And people will ridicule you and persecute you. And you will say, I am living the life of Christ. And we are called to stand. We are called to stand. I think it was one of the great reformers, perhaps even Martin Luther himself, who, when he was put on trial because of his fresh understanding of the mercy of God, certainly words that are attributed to him when he's asked to account for what he's doing, for his belief in the mercy and the grace of God, he said, here I stand. I can do no other. And that may be our testimony. Here I stand. I can do no other. I'm a follower of Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. I will love my enemy. I will give to the poor. I will welcome the stranger and the immigrant and the refugee. I will do those things that are unpopular because I am following Jesus. And so Jesus says to us in this chapter, and there are many things that have been said about Mark chapter 13. Many strange things have been discussed about Mark 13. Books have been written and films and TV series have been put together. And all sorts of theories and conspiracy theories abound. But at the heart of it, Jesus says to us, be watchful. Be watchful for what is happening out there. Be watchful for what is happening in here, in your own hearts. See, hear, and stand. May God, in his mercy, pour his Spirit upon us as we receive his word. Let's pray together. Father, we pray for your Spirit. Father, we pray for a fresh blessing of your Holy Spirit. We pray that we may be inspired, inspirited. We pray, Father, you would breathe your life-giving breath into us. You would create within us a new heart. You would transform us as we have our minds renewed by all we learn of you through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Have mercy upon us. Guide us in the way everlasting. Have courage. Help us to have courage to stand. And having done everything, to stand. We pray in the name of Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.